is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
I always love hearing my son Mason on that final 8 o'clock a.m. open, especially when I'm on the road. It's Carmichael Dave live in Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage, to be completely accurate. If you're on YouTube, thank you. YouTube/KHDK. Nope, it's not a green screen behind me. That is the mountains down here, out of town for a friend's birthday, but still bringing you a hot, hot show along with Jay Mars back in the haunted studios of KHDK. All day long. Red Papa will join us in just a couple of minutes. By the way, one note, we were told by my father, who the kids are staying with yesterday, that there was a soccer practice before Saturday's game for my son. And he was given, they have a little token they give out for the player of the game. And the kids voted him the player of the game last Saturday. I'm not here to brag. There's a second part of the story. Oh. And so the coach awarded him the little token. But here's the catch. Come Saturday after the game, Mason has to then pick the player of the game.
Oh boy.
And in front of the team, say a little speech about why he picked the player of the game, and then hand off the token. And that will happen each and every week. And to tell you that my son wishes he had not won this award is the understand. This is his nightmare. This is his personal hell. I feel so bad for the kid. And I feel bad I'm not going to be there because he does not like talking in front of people.
I was going to say, I know Money Mace isn't exactly the public speaker.
No.
So will Grandpa at least get it on video for you so that we can replay it on Monday while
yes.
he's not listening?
Now, we are, of course, asking Pop to use technology.
I know.
Which he is not the best at, so look for a thumb in the screen. And I know he's listening right now. I love you, Dad.
We just need the audio.
But, we'll see how the audio. I would like to see if maybe we could get him mic'd up a little bit. Mason texting me right now. They're on their way to school. He says, I hear you on the radio. I'm not prepared to choose someone. Well, then let me speak directly to my son while we wait for Greg Papa. Mason, why don't you do this? Tonight, I will FaceTime you, and also with Pop and Nani. Why don't you practice? Pretend that Avery is the player of the game, and get up and talk to Nani and Pop and say why Avery was the player of the game, and then hand her the little token. See, it's called role-playing in this business, and you get a chance to practice. And remember what I always tell you, make eye contact, smile. Don't just sit there and rotate your hips left and right, left and right. Don't do that nervous tick where you slap your hand to your head or whatever you do. And I know you're laughing right now in the car. It'll be fine. And when it's all over, you'll feel like you accomplished something. Much like we're accomplishing something each and every Friday at 8:05. It's so very cool that he joins us once again. It is no secret how big a fan I am of Greg Papa, not just when he, in his previous life as a Raiders play-by-play voice, but also being a San Francisco Giants fan, seeing him and a bevy of partners on the pre- and post-game shows throughout the season. But, of course, as the voice of my beloved San Francisco 49ers. Greg Papa has a produced intro because he's so important. Here it is right now.
It's time for the Greg Papa Show.
Touchdown!
Here's the voice of the Niners, Greg Papa.
Look at that. Got a little reverb, a little echo there, Greg. I mean, listen, this is we may not have the money, the cachet. We may not have the talent, ratings, or any of that, Greg, but we do have pre-produced intros for you, my friend. Good morning.
You have the ratings. Come on. You own that market. I know that. So great to be back with you, Dave. And usually this time of the year, I long for the East Coast, and I'm going to get on a red-eye tonight to go back to Philadelphia. But I feel like I am in the East Coast. This feels like football. The weather is just... It feels like September, October, November in the East. Autumn has arrived, and love this time of the year, and it's we're already one game into it, but I feel like we're kicking off the season by talking about what happened in Detroit last week and the three really terrible injuries, two season injuries, and the news about Dre Greenlaw yesterday. But they played a great football game. I think getting lost in it all is just how much they dominated that game. They clearly backed off a little bit because of the injury of Barrett, which caused some anxious moments at the end. But I think they're a really good team, and they're going to have to overcome some significant injuries. But it's so great to be back with you. I'm so excited for our Fridays again.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. And you're unintentionally killing me here, because I'm on remote in the Palm Desert right now for the weekend.
Oh, and you are? Like 97 degrees at 8 in the morning there?
It is, honest to goodness, I just looked at it. It is 91. It will be a high of 104 today. We're playing golf in about an hour and a half out there in this.
That's all right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's just real quick, I'll tie last week and this coming game together. Greg, I am officially worried. I am worried about that already semi-thin secondary. And now you have guys like Josh Norman. We don't know what he has in the tank. And the Niners are favored in this game against Philadelphia. But I'll tell you, Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and Jalen Riggett, I'm very worried about that secondary. Am I right to be this worried? Or do you think Kyle and D'Amico Ryans and friends are going to have something up their sleeve?
Well, losing Jason Verrett's a blow. I'm not going to diminish that. Jason Verrett he's clearly the most skilled cornerback on the roster. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I would include the last several seasons, including Richard Sherman. I don't think Richard ever was quite the same player in Seattle that he was here that he was in Seattle. Jason Verrett is a great player. His short area quickness for the ability to move his feet. But his ability to play the ball in the air against big receivers like DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins, who the 49ers have to deal with in the NFC West, he's an extraordinary player. But it's not like you're playing hockey and you get a penalty and you play a man down. You're still going to have 11 guys on the field. So they're going to figure it out. This is a system, and I would say the same for Raheem Mostert. He's an elite player on offense. He's the best running back on the team. That's not questioned. But it's a system on how they run the ball. And this is where you plug a guy in and maybe you ask the new guy to do a little bit less. But still, there's a system there. With the cornerbacks you have now, D'Amador Lenore started and played the entire game in Detroit as a rookie. And they didn't even test him till late in the game. He was really impressive in the preseason. So I feel good about him. Now he's a rookie. They're going to go at rookies. There's no doubt. Emmanuel Mosley missed the first game with a knee injury. I watched him warm up in Detroit before the game on Sunday morning. And I have thought, is he going to play today? The way he was running, not full blown, 100%, 100 yard sprints, but pretty close. But he was, then after a while, he worked out so long, you know, he's not playing today. He's getting the lather up. And I guess he's doing the same thing at the Greenbrier. I'm not with the team, obviously, in West Virginia, but the reports are what I'm reading and talking to the coaches. So I don't know where he's at, but let's assume he does not play in this game, although I was optimistic when I saw him on Sunday in Detroit that he'd play. But if he can't play, D'Amador Lenore will be one of your outside corners, I would assume. K'Wan Williams would go into the slot. And that slot position is very important because the Eagles – flood the field with receivers. And I'm going to include Zach Ertz, their tight end. He's a wide receiver. And then they've got the new guy, Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner from Bama. They line him up in the slot a lot. He's very slight of build, so it's hard to press the slot, and you get a cleaner release from there. So he's in there a lot, and that'll be K'Wan's job if he's there. But they'll move him around. And then who would be the opposite corner to D'Amador Lenore? Well, it could be Dante Johnson, who came in and played a lot of snaps last week, and the Lions clearly targeted him when he came in. Or it could be one of the two veteran guys. I would think it'd be more Josh Norman than Dre Kirkpatrick, simply because Josh has been here longer. Dre's got to get up to speed. But I think ultimately Dre could be the better player. In recent years, and I've watched Dre a lot, you know, if you remember the Raider trade where they gave up a couple of high picks to get Carson Palmer. The first round pick they gave up turned into Dre Kirkpatrick in Cincinnati. So we watched his career all the while he was there closely. And he's a very long, kind of a classic, Akella Witherspoon, Richard Sherman, cover three kind of corner. So I think ultimately he could be the guy over Josh Norman, but I think for this game, it would be either Norman or it would be Dante Johnson, assuming that this whole assumption, and maybe he'll surprise us today in practice and play on Sunday, that Emmanuel Mosley Day can't go.
Greg Papa, the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, joining us. Greg, another devastating blow happened on the other side of the ball last week for the 49ers with them losing Raheem Mostert for the year. Obviously, Jeff Wilson Jr. is on the pup. He's not going to be coming back till at least after week six. It was a big game for Elijah Mitchell last week. How do you see the running back situation playing out this week in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think similar to what it was in Detroit after Raheem went down. And, you know, Raheem had two carries, and then we didn't see him again. And it's terrible news. I'd spoken to him a couple of days before the game, and he's told me he wants to be a Hall of Famer. He flat out said, my goal is a gold jacket. And I went, whoa, maybe you need to make a Pro Bowl first. But he has that kind of ability, but he's just not been, you know, availability, as they say. He's had a lot of injuries, you know, fractured forearms, hurt all last year, ankles, and now a knee. So that's a terrible blow for him. But as I said before, it's a system and how they run the ball. And I think with Bobby Turner as the running back coach and Kyle and Mike McDaniel and Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach, they have a system. And Elijah Mitchell's a very good system fit because he's just a one cut and a downhill runner. But then he's got explosion. He's got the ability to break tackles. And that's why he had the game he had. Now, his 38-yard touchdown run, I don't think anybody laid a finger on that guy. Yeah. It was blocked. So incredible. So George Kittle had an incredible blocking game. The offensive line was devouring people. This offensive line is one of the best in football. And I would say from left tackle to right tackle, it's one of the best offensive lines the 49ers have ever had. They got to stay healthy there. So, but there's going to be times where you miss Raheem Mostert. Because Raheem just outruns systems and schemes. There are times where the safety has an angle on him and he's going to make the play, and Raheem just outruns the angle. It's like, how did he do that? That should not happen. And he's just that special of a player. Could Mitchell be that kind of a guy? He's a 4-3 guy. Does he have Mostert's kind of track speed and functional football speed? We'll see. I think there'll be plays in big games where, man, if 31 was on the field, that may have been a chunk play there. There could be some of those, but I think Mitchell to Michael Hasty, the guy who's got to respond now is Trey Sermon. You know, the higher draft pick, Oklahoma to start, then Ohio State. He's got to adopt the one cut and downhill mentality. This is not a dance around Barry Sanders kind of running game. You got to hit it. And what Bobby Turner preaches is 4 yards every play. I don't care if we blocked it for no yards, you get 4 every play. And if we block it for 4, then your specialness will make it 14, or in Mostert's case, 74. But you got to get 4. So if it's not Gale Sayers and run to daylight, if there's no daylight, you run anyway. You just get one cut and you hit it. And you either hit the front side of the hole or the way it's designed with the outside zone, there's a lot of runs on the backside. Then you weave it back to the backside. But Trey Sermon's just got to be more definitive. He cannot look for an opening. If it's not there, you make your own opening to truck people. So that's what he's going to have to do. So, but make no mistake, I mean, I both sides of the ball, we're talking great players here. Barrett's a great player, a Pro Bowl player. Raheem Mostert has Pro Bowl ability. So there's going to be times you miss those guys just to pure talent. But you're hoping coaching and scheme, and as they play more and more, and they have a certain sense about them that you'll be able to somewhat overcome these injuries.
The voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa, joins us as he does each and every Friday at 8:05 during the season. Before we get to Philly, just a quick backtrack to the Lions game. It was a victory. We surmised, injuries aside, Greg, that maybe, especially when you take the bonding at the Greenbrier, not coming back home, being on the East Coast for 2 straight at the beginning of the year, that maybe a blessing in disguise, as weird as that is, to get outscored like that in the fourth. You get the win, but at the same time, nobody's feeling good about themselves. There's probably a lot of things going on in practice this week. A, do you see that mentality? B, what do you, other than, do you think Verrett was the whole thing, or were there other things technically you saw in that fourth that were deficient on the Niners' part?
Verrett started it. You got to keep in mind, the score was 41-17 at the 2-minute warning. 41-17 at the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost was going to pull a Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers, and pull out the dagger and say this game's over earlier, but I didn't, because 41-17 is 24 points. That's three touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions. So there's a possibility if they recover 2 onside kicks that they could score 3. Yeah. But, I mean, it's very unlikely that's going to happen. And there was a clear mindset, and my mindset and Tim Ryan's mindset, when Verrett went down to injury, it felt a lot like Jersey week 2 last year and Bosa's injury. It did. And it was like, let's just get the hell out of here and end this game. And Kyle started to take people off the field. Nick Bosa came off the field and untaped his ankles. Fred Warner came off the field. Azeez Alshire is the backup middle linebacker, so he took the green dot helmet as the speaker helmet where you get the call from the coordinator, D'Amico Ryans. They were out for several. I think Fred was out for 15 plays. When he came back into the game, he did not put back on the green dot helmet. Azeez did. So it was a scramble. Bosa had to retape his ankles and come back into the game. That game went from opening day to all of a sudden an August preseason game, we're going to bring in the second and third string for the fourth quarter. And Detroit never let up, and they made some plays. And all of a sudden, you know, they score. They get a 2-point conversion on a pick play on the goal line. And their kicker, Austin Seibert, has the Super Bowl onside kick. It pops up off the spongy field turf, hits George right in the face mask, and they recover that. All right, and then they score again. All right, now Fred Warner does recover the second onside kick. And the 49ers need one first down now to win the game. They get the first down, and Debo fumbles.
Yep.
So it's like, So you got, all of a sudden, they're on the 24-yard line. But then, you know, Bosa came back in, Ford came back in, Ebukam had a big pass rush, and Goff throws the ball away on fourth down, you win the game. So they're going to be pissed off, and I'm sure they are. Defensively, they also got run on a little bit earlier in the game. First play of the game that they popped him for a run. There were 3 or 4 runs where that's not 49er football in the run game. And then I thought the worst play of the game on defense was the screen touchdown to DeAndre Swift, where they just got caught on a blitz call. They like to blitz the slot corner, Kaywan Williams. They'll probably blitz him a lot in this game against Hurts. And I think you want to blitz him from Hurts' right to make him roll left. But they got caught in a blitz, and there was a great play call from the Lions, Anthony Lynn, their coordinator. And they hit a screen the other way. And then Jimmy Ward had a one-on-one, and DeAndre Swift stuffed the tackle in space, and he made a miss, and he scored. That was the one play in those runs earlier. The end of the game, Dave, I just think that was, holy crap, Verrett got hurt on the field turf again. And that one was clearly a product of that turf, just biting his ankle, and it hyperextended the knee, and it caused the ACL to tear. After that, Kyle thought, 41-17, there's 7 minutes to go. Let's get Bosa off the field. Let's get Warner off the field. And then other guys were cramping up. Jimmy Ward started cramping up. You didn't play Tart or Ward at the end of the game. You went to Hufanga and Tavon Wilson, the veteran in safety. So go back and look at that defense that was playing the last 7 minutes of the game. It felt more like an August preseason game than opening day.
Well, then that's a perfect way to wrap. We're out of time, but I got to ask you, because every Monday we come back and we play you and Tim calling the game. And we, as you know, we study your calls. You know I'm a fan. I got the distinct impression, we talked about it, that your final call of the game, and I don't even know if you remember in the moment, but as you wrapped, as the clock hit triple zeros and you wrapped, we said Greg has the distinct tone of a person who says, who's thinking, let's get the hell out of here. The game is over. That's really what it sounded like, Greg. And you echoed that sound in what you just said. The coaches probably were thinking the same thing.
Well, if I could have sent you a text of the whole last 7 minutes of the game, it would have been WTF?
Right.
Like I kept looking at the scoreboard. And I'm like, I think I a little bit early started saying they're going to be 1-0 and all that. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's not quite. And I kept saying it's not over.
Yeah.
But there had to be so many things that fell in line for that game to go down to the last play. You know what? People freak out. And let's be honest here. Gambling is legal in a lot of states in our country. Yeah. Not quite in California yet. And there was a line there that got adjusted that I'm sure had people freaking out. D'Amico Ryans did a fine job. There's nothing wrong with a prevent defense in the NFL. I know people hate it, but you're playing the clock. So the Lions ran out of time. I didn't think they had enough time to do it, and they didn't. They almost did, and they made it a little bit hairier, but they still would have had to make a two-point conversion, and then they just tie the game. So he played it fine. It's just they took the players off the field. Now, all that being said, with one thought on this game, that's not happening in this game. This is Philadelphia. Even though the Lions, you know, their fans got back into it, look at their franchise. They've been bad for a long time. Philadelphia just won a Super Bowl a few years ago, and these fans are rabid. I mean, they're going to be all painted green. They're going to be going crazy. This is South Philly, and they won their opener and looked good, so they're going to be energized. There's going to be no let up in this game because the Eagles are going to come at you hard, and you're going to have to play a much cleaner game to beat these guys. This is a better team than last year. They have a new bounce in their step. Their quarterback intrigues me. So 49ers are a better team. I expect them to win the game. But you're not going to be able to let up. You're going to have to play hard every play for 60 minutes to beat these guys.
That is the voice of the Niners, Greg Papa. You can, of course, hear him this Sunday, 10 a.m. in Philadelphia against the Eagles. And you can hear him with us each and every Friday at 8:05. Again, Greg, so great to have you back. We really appreciate your time. Let's get a couple of wins, by the way, against the Bravos this weekend, our Giants. And
and a couple losses by the Dodgers in Cincinnati. So. 91 degrees and you're playing golf, Dave? Life is good. It's good to be you.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. That's Greg Papa.
Take care. Thank you.
You too. That's Greg Papa, the voice of the Niners. And Jay, he said it best. They're going to be painted green. That is, the Eagles fans are going to be hyped up. And
If the Niners aren't prepared, they could get not just upset this weekend because they are a favorite, but they could get stomped.
Peter's picks are coming up in the next segment, and I've been avoiding giving my pick all week long. We'll take a break right now, though.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next,
we'll give you the picks on the Niners game, the Raiders game, Monday Night Football, and, of course, Peter will have his pick of the week. 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Right now, if you want an opportunity simply to beat Peter and you win a set of brand-new cornhole boards, we're back right after this.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
We are live, but not entirely from the tent city in Sacramento, California, on Commerce Circle. Nope. I am in Palm Springs, California, Rancho Mirage, to be exact. And thanks to not just Jay back in the studio, who's always doing such a wonderful, wonderful job setting everything up. But if you're on YouTube.com/KHDK, you're seeing a brand new system here for our remote broadcast. We'll be integrating this into our actual broadcast as we are constantly evolving our YouTube feed as well. We try to entertain you, the listener, on the radio at KHDK.com and all the streaming apps we have. But thanks also to all the engineers that teamed up to help as well. Greg Papa, Dave Richard earlier. Don't forget Monday, Matt Barrows at 8:05 will give us the recap and help us break down the Niners-Eagles game. Andy Bailey of Bleacher Report will join us at 7:35. Andy Bailey, you may be going, well, who is that? We talked about it yesterday. Andy's the one that had De'Aaron Fox, as I pause for the music, De'Aaron Fox behind Lonzo Ball in the redraft of 2017. Dare I say, this is going to be contentious.
Gross.
This is going to be back and forth.
Will this be the biggest argument that's ever broken out on this radio program?
I think Jay Billis is going to hold that title for a long time. I actually very much like Andy. I consider him a Twitter friend. I love his work. So we're going to have a lot of fun and go back and forth. In the meantime, we're going to go back and forth and have a lot of fun with our friend Peter right now.
It's Friday, and that means one thing.
The best time in football is on Friday night.
It's Football Friday. Football Fridays on Sports 1140 KHTK is brought to you by United Wholesale Lending.
I dare I say, as we bring in Peter, the undefeated Peter, because we pushed on the Lions game. I know that the final line was 8.5, 9 points in some places. Peter did take the 49ers, but that was the most backdooriest of backdoor pushes because we had that at 8 when we were on the phone with him. And then, of course, he got the Rams. He got the Raiders. So, Peter, congratulations. You have yet to lose on these airwaves.
I appreciate it, man. That was a pretty crazy game. I don't think I've seen a game where, I mean, you're up 38-10 and you're sitting there biting your nails sweating.
Nope. No, I haven't either, and at least the Niners got the win. Thank goodness nobody gets the cornhole boards last week. We'll see if we can change that this week. We will start out in South Philadelphia. We just got off the phone with Greg Papa talking about this game. 10 a.m. on Sunday, the 49ers take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams undefeated at 1-0. The line is 3. Jay Mars, start us off with your pick.
Give me the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I am a diehard Niner fan. I have been worried all week long. I have been worried about that thin secondary. I've been worried about the home opener for Philadelphia, how they looked in game one. I've been worried about those young receivers, plus those bookend tight ends, including Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. I have been worried, and on Sunday, I think that worry is going to be justified. It's not just that I think the Niners won't cover. I think the Niners are going to lose this game outright. I will take the Philadelphia Eagles. Peter.
This is a tough man. Honestly, I completely agree with you. I think that it's going to be super tough. I also think that the defense is going to go out there with a lot to prove. Kyle Shanahan is just a mastermind out there. They did lose Greenlaw. They lost Rhett for the season. I just don't see this Eagles team being that hyped up. I think they played a pretty terrible Atlanta team, and I just think that it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I look at the Niners covering.
Okay, I hope you are right and I am wrong. We move on also at 10 a.m., so you're going to have to split-screen for all you local and semi-local. I know they're in Vegas fans, but the Raiders right here on Sports 1140 KHTK going to Pittsburgh, take on those Pittsburgh Steelers again, a battle of two undefeated teams as the Raiders escaped with that victory, that thrilling Monday night victory against the Ravens. Now they go into Pittsburgh to take on those Steelers. Pittsburgh favored by 6 points even, Jay.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think the Steelers are going to win the game, but I think it's going to be close. I think Pittsburgh wins by 3, so give me the Raiders.
Okay. I think Najee Harris is going to justify a lot of his high fantasy football picks. He's going to run all over the place. I don't like the fact that there's some banged up amongst the Raiders' backfield specifically. I think the Steelers win this by about 9 or 10. I'll take Pittsburgh. Peter.
All right. Well, the Steelers have one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Raiders are playing on a short week, let alone going to overtime, the fatigue, the emotional win, having to travel all the way to the East Coast and play a morning game. Najee Harris is from the Bay Area. You can imagine how many people are going to be watching that game that he knows. Raiders lost their starting guard for the season. I think TJ Watt's too much, and there's no way. Raiders do not cover the spread.
Okay, we agree on that. We move on. Monday Night Football, before we get to Peter's game of the week, those aforementioned Detroit Lions against a team that absolutely laid an egg. They opened their season at Lambeau Field Monday night, 5:15. Lions, Packers. Packers favored by 11 points. Jay Mars.
It's prime time. It's Lambeau. The Packers are going to blow out the Lions. Give me the Packers.
All right. I do think the Packers will win this game. 11 points is quite a bit. Believe it or not, the Lions have a little bit of momentum going into this game. I think the Packers are going to win. I think the Packers are going to win by a touchdown, maybe 10 points. I see the Lions barely covering this one.
I don't. Aaron Rodgers is angry. He's heard. I couldn't even imagine everything he's seen on Twitter. He had the worst game of his career. Jimmy G torched that secondary.
They just lost their number one pick from last year, a season ago for the season, and they got Davante Adams. I think they open up in Lambeau, and they just completely torch the Lions.
Okay, now we move on, as we do each and every week. Peter's game of the week. Peter, which is it?
A lot of good games this week. It's tough. Give me the Bills over the Dolphins. That defense is going to bounce back. Josh Allen's an MVP candidate. You don't want to fall 0-2 to the Dolphins. I just think that there's no possible way. This Bills is a Super Bowl contending team. Spread's 3. I think it might have moved to 3.5. I see the Dolphins keeping it close, and then the second half, the Bills pulling away. Lock of the week, take the Bills.
Okay. That spread I'm looking at right now is 3 over under 47.5. Not that that matters. And by the way, I don't want to forget to get a Monday night tiebreaker here before we go. Bills in Miami. Miami undefeated. Bills got shown up a little bit at home in their home opener. I agree. They're going to be upset. They're going to be angry. Here's the thing. I think Miami's a good team. I do. I think Miami's a good team this year. This is a game. I hate that you picked it. I think it's a coin flip. I'm going to go with Miami, and I'm probably going to have egg on my face come Monday. Jay?
I'm feeling a little fishy as well. It's at home. I'm with you. I think Miami is a good team. I think Miami takes this.
Okay, and then finally, let's not forget Monday Night Football, total points. Peter, you give us, doesn't matter what Jay and I think, Peter, you give us total points. Right now the over-under is at 48.5.
Give me 34-14.
34-14. Let me do some math here. 44. Oh, he's taking the slight under at 48 points. As always, you hear me talk about Shelby each and every day. Peter is a huge part of that system as well. You can go to refinancewithshelby.com, refinancewithshelby.com. We will take listener picks next. And if you are successful in beating Peter, you will get yourself a beautiful set of cornhole boards. Well done, Peter. Appreciate it. Week 2, you're still undefeated. Let's see if you carry that crown into week 3, my friend.
Looking forward to it. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on.
You too, brother. Thank you. That is Peter from United Wholesale. So, Jay, I'm looking at the clock here. Do we want to bring in our friend?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's go ahead right now. I understand Farhan is on line 1, and he's got his picks ready to go. Good morning, Farhan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, dude, I'm be doing a lot better. I don't like the fact that Peter's undefeated. I don't like the fact that we haven't given away a set of cornhole boards yet. So I am 100% rooting for you here. I am a Farhan stan. This is a Farhan hive, and I'm going to throw you some games. You just give me your picks, and hopefully you can beat Peter. 10 a.m. Niners.
Based on the spread. Right, guys?
Yes, sir. That is based 100% on the spread. Let's start with the Niners and Eagles in Philadelphia. San Francisco favored by 3. Do they cover or do you take the Eagles?
So this is a tough one. I'm a Niner fan, and 2 10 o'clock games in a row, but I think they're staying on the East Coast. I think they are going to win and cover today.
Okay, all right, pick 1, Niners over the Eagles. All right, pick 2, Raiders going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Steelers favored by 6. Farhan, who are you taking?
You know, Raiders, whenever you count them out, they play well against good teams. Another one on the road, 10 a.m. game. I'm going to go with the Raiders to cover the 6 points.
Okay, look at you. 3rd up, Monday Night Football, Lions-Packers. Packers coming off that stinker. Lions coming off a near hit versus the Niners. Big line here, double digits. Green Bay favored by 11 at Lambeau. Who are you taking?
I think we got to go with, I think we got to go with the Packers here. I think they're going to cover.
All right, agreeing with Peter there. Aaron Rodgers is going to be angry. Finally, Peter's pick of the week. The Buffalo Bills, who were a little bit embarrassing, not embarrassed, but a little bit embarrassing, losing that home opener against the Steelers. They are 0-1, facing the undefeated Miami Dolphins. That's another 10 a.m. game. Buffalo favored by 3 here. Who do you take?
I'm going to go with the favorite on this one. I'm going to go with Buffalo to cover the 3.
All right, finally, tiebreaker. Let's go back to Monday Night Football real quick. Packers hosting those Lions. The over-under on this game is 48.5. Peter took 48 even. What do you think the final score of this game is, or just what do you think the total points will be?
Wow. So I don't have to guess over-under. I can just say...
Yeah, just total points.
Yeah, total points. Total points.
Yeah, you know what? Give me 11 points. I'm going to say I'm going to say 50 points, man.
All right, 50 points even, slightly taking the over. I don't know if Jay already got your info or not. If not, hold the line. And I hope to be talking to you again on Tuesday, Farhan, and awarding
you, fellas.
Awarding you some cornhole boards. Have a great weekend, my man. Thank you. That is Farhan. And there's your picks each and every Friday, 8:30. Peter joins us. I want to give away some cornhole boards, Jay. You know, I really want to give away some cornhole boards.
Yeah, that would be fun, and I wish we could win the cornhole boards, but you've told me we don't qualify, which
no,
I think is stupid since I have to play the game every Friday.
Sorry, buddy. You know what else you have to do? You have to go to break. So, you know, before we go to break, though, I want to tell you something. Because it's the end of the week. You got football on Sunday. You know you got college football on Saturday, and maybe you're having some friends over tonight. As always, do be safe. But it is that time of year where you do not want to have propane anxiety. Oh, I love the music. Apache. Get to Cinch, C-Y-N-C-H, cinch.com. Don't be in the middle of cooking something and then you run out of propane. And oh my goodness gracious, who wants to do that? You have half-cooked burgers. Your medium rare steak is just rare and mooing at you. You don't want to do that if you run out of propane. Oh, look, there's some propane because I went to Cinch. Also space heaters. Also fire pits. And whatever the heck you use propane for, Cinch is a propane service. You simply go to cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H, and you grab yourself some propane. They will deliver it to your house within a day or two. That's it. That's simple. They'll leave it on your front porch. They'll leave it on your side yard even. I've got a live audience looking at me. My goodness gracious. Oh, and by the way, this is the most important part. Use promo code Dave. Yeah, write that down. Use promo code Dave. Your first exchange, $10. $10. I'm out here saving you money. I'm paying you to listen to this program. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H, promo code Dave. Cinch.com, promo code Dave. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
The best what's on tap all week. Oh my goodness, there is a lot on tap between big baseball series, NFL games, and so much more. Then we will get to a crossover, and we shall sign off for the weekend. Don't go away. It's all coming up right after this.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
What's on tap? Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Listening In on Conversations.
Listening In on Conversations, but I just realized I just realized I left my camera on the whole time.
Well, and your mic was on to me. No one can hear you on the stream.
I knew that. But yeah, we were talking about a friend of ours down here that might have imbibed a little too much last night. You know, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna switch your sponsorship because in the same spirit, brought to you by Horrific Jameson Hangovers, and then going and playing golf in 104 degree weather, because that's what's on tap for this guy.
Yikes.
Yeah, and that friend is why I do not drink. Yeah. Anyways, well, go ahead.
It's okay to drink, but as they always say, drink responsibly.
Yeah, I guess so. And when I say that, I mean, I might have two drinks a year or something, but I just pay too much for it, dude. My best friend growing up is a functioning alcoholic, and I say that with all love in the world, but it's true. And there's something in his system. He can't get hungover. I never knew him to get hungover. And this is a guy who, through our what would have been college years, would drink a he would always have a plastic gallon jug of Albertsons charcoal filtered vodka.
Oh.
And Sunny Delight.
Oh.
And that is what he would drink a lot of.
Ooh,
he would take it in his backpack anywhere he went and would just drink on it all day, all night. And then he'd wake up the next morning ready to go. That is, I would be screaming for our Lord and Savior that were the case.
My insides just started hurting hearing you explain that. Gross.
Yeah. All right. By the way, you don't want anybody to see you on camera.
Oh, there. Hold on. I'll get my cam. I just want him to see you.
Okay.
Give you all the glory. Hold on.
Boy, am I glad I wasn't doing anything untoward during the break. All right. Dodgers take on the Reds. We're going to give you Dodgers stuff for the rest of the year because this is a race, and the most entertaining race by far between the Dodgers and Giants. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers, despite getting blown out by the Giants, 14-3 with a 2.32 ERA. The likely second-place finisher behind his teammate Max Scherzer in the Cy Young race. He takes on Luis Castilla. Actually, I take that back. It's going to be Scherzer and Zach Wheeler going back and forth, and Walker Buehler. I should mention the former Giant Zach Wheeler in there. The Giants start their series against the Atlanta Braves. First place versus first place. Ian Anderson on the mound for the Braves versus Logan Webb, who has been lights out. And boy, do they need him to be lights out tonight. Got to get at least the first game. You got to get two or three here, you'd think. Giants with a slimmest of one-game leads over the Dodgers. The A's travel to Anaheim to take on the Angels. That is right here on the Sporty 1140, 6:38 first pitch, I believe. Pregame starting at 5:30. Cole Irvin on the mound for Oakland. And then, as if that weren't enough, my goodness gracious, football this weekend. I will not give you all the games. There's too many to mention in this time frame. But the Niners, 10 a.m. start versus the Eagles. That's in Philadelphia. And right here on KHDK, also a 10 a.m. start. Raiders at the Steelers. Steelers, as we said, favored by 6 in this one.
Yeah, and we got the triple header on Sunday here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We'll give you the Raiders game in the morning. Mm-hmm. You get the A's in the afternoon, and then you get Sunday Night Football in the evening, which I believe is Chiefs-Ravens?
Sunday Night Football is Chiefs in Baltimore taking
Look
on the
at
Ravens.
That.
M&T Bank Stadium. Chiefs with the slight edge there, 3.5, but Patrick Mahomes going against Lamar Jackson is always fun. I love that little budding rivalry going on in the AFC between two of the better young quarterbacks, and in fact the best quarterback, young or not, probably in the entire league, at least in the conversation. So yeah, there you go, lock it in. Simply lock it in to K. You should have no presets
no.
on your station other than Sports 1140 KHDK. Also, I believe in, what is it, 96.1 HD2?
Yes.
If you do not have AM in your car.
If you're an FMer.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem there. So a lot, my goodness, a lot on tap. Do we have a crossover?
We does.
Oh, look at that. Jason Ross time.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who wants
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Hey, Dave and Jay. Happy Friday.
Hi.
Half the league in the NFL is 1-0. The other half is 0-1.
Facts.
So, come Monday, when you guys are back on the air, who will be the biggest surprise team at 2-0, and who will be the biggest disappointment at 0-2?
Wait, what? Oh, he's talking about overall?
Overall, who's going to be the biggest disappointment at 0-2 and the biggest surprise at 2-0?
The biggest disappointment at 0-2 is going to be the Buffalo Bills.
Nice.
The biggest surprise at 2-0 is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals.
So my biggest surprise and then biggest, you know, well, I guess they're both biggest surprises, both losing and winning. It ties into the same game. The 2-0 Houston Texans and the 0-2
wow.
Cleveland Browns.
What, you really had the Texans beating the Browns outright?
I mean, listen, I really need it to happen for our knockout league. So, yes, I'm willing it to happen.
Honorable mention, by the way, I had mentioned, who was it? The Bills at 0-2 and the Bengals at 2-0. I also think the Eagles are going to be 2-0 this weekend, which arguably is a bigger surprise than the...
That would be a huge surprise.
The Bengals as well. So, okay. Yeah, I'm just double clutching here. Yeah, okay. All right. So we got to give a crossover question back
sure.
to Jay Ross, do we not? Okay, and part of me wants it to be food. But since since I have golf on the mind, I have golf on the brain, Jason Ross, going to be playing some golf this weekend. I'm thinking of you. So here it is. I know you love golf. And real quick, I want you to give me, based on whether it's play, but more importantly, really environment, and I think I know what one of your answers is going to be. I want you to give me your best golf experience ever. And by the way, maybe not the best environment, but maybe the best you ever played. I don't know. Either one's eligible. And I want you to give me your worst golf experience based on environment and or how you played. Right?
Great.
Yeah, I mean,
fantastic.
Have a good weekend. Our big time engineer has checked in, Jay, looking at the broadcast. He says we should have our. I thought we did earlier that we should have our social media handles on the screen. Didn't we have that up?
They are on the screen.
Oh, they are. Oh, I think he means static, but they're on the. I'm looking at it right now. It's on the bottom line. And he says we should get you a ring light to help with the shadows. I completely agree. And Jason, if you're listening, I'm down here in bad light, but in my little package I'm going to put together for these remote broadcasts. Normally I'd be at home. I actually have a ring light, so well done. And really seriously, I said it earlier. Thanks so much to Jason, to Joe, to Mark, all our engineers for helping put this together, and Jay Mars especially back in the studio for everybody. Buddy, have a great weekend. Be safe. Go Kings. Go Niners. Bye. Bye now.